You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. Germanicus, Makaveleos is here. Right now we're dealing with headlines out of London that are stark. How U.S. military aid package could thwart Russia's summer offensive. And Mike Johnson faces ousting as U.S. speaker over Ukraine support. And U.S. can send fresh weapons to Ukraine, quote, within days. And $60 billion military aid for Ukraine approved. And U.S. on cusp of passing major aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And China fuels Russia's war in Ukraine. And Britain could pledge new air defense package for Ukraine in weeks. And my favorite, Germanicus, Ukrainian soldiers trained in U.K. given free cigarettes under Ministry of Defense deal. There you have it, the 21st century. We're training soldiers with free cigarettes. Germanicus, the package is passed. The cavalry is riding to the rescue. What next? Good evening to you.
Good evening, Gaius. The next is, well, the past is the future, essentially. It's not just prologue, but what we're heading into is where we've been or where we are going in the context of the Russo-Ukrainian war. The only impact that this aid will have in terms of the course of that war will be to potentially prolong it by a few months. And the longer that the aid, if indeed it is effective in doing so, prolongs the war, the more casualties Ukraine will take. And those casualties will continue to mount at the level of 30,000 plus a month. So the math is grim for Ukraine, given the manpower situation that they're laboring under right now. It'll only get much worse. And Ukraine will have that many hundreds of thousands of fewer men, however much longer the war continues. As to the utility of the aid, it is essential for Ukraine in one existentially important way. Much of that money goes to keeping the government running and paying the pensions of retired Ukrainian workers. It's a tremendously old country in terms of its demographic pyramid, which doesn't look like anything like a pyramid, by the way. And so we're keeping the country going while we're also keeping the diminishment of the country going and its erosion going. So it's a depressing a triumph for the administration and the Congress, I guess, but it is in the long term, a defeat for Ukraine itself. It's hard to get this point across. And those of us who see this, who have seen it from the very beginning of the war, and there are several commentators who've been outspoken and, you know, accused of being Putinists or traitors even. And yet the point needs to be made again and again, because this is what's coming, and it's hard to imagine how remorseful Americans as a whole will be, if not their government, that we engineered this war and kept it going for so long. Just as an example, we don't have enough missiles and artillery shells and modern vehicles to turn things around for Ukraine, even to allow them to weather a gathering Russian offensive. And most importantly, they don't have the men, and the men they do have aren't trained, and we can't train them. When we did train them for the so-called greatest counteroffensive, we trained them in NATO tactics, and they proceeded to launch themselves valiantly into the densest minefields of all time, and their offensive was destroyed. But I read the American media, for example, and the British, and not only do they continue to promote the fairy tale of Ukrainian victory, but they're still unwilling to admit openly that the summer counteroffensive failed. They use all sorts of modifiers or substitute words that say, oh, it did not achieve all of its objectives. It's terrifying when people can live in such a world of fantasy. And if they are not living in a world of fantasy and they're lying, which, of course, many of them are, I don't know how they can continue to throw good money after bad, or turn good money into something bad, which is actually what this bill does.
Germanicus, there are two elections here that seem pertinent to your remark just now. There's the American election and the British election. There is reason to be cynical about both of them. Do you expect that the Ukrainian story will change after that, after those elections?
It will change after those elections, certainly for the U.S., because the U.S. will not need to maintain the fiction of the war as it's been presented. If the current president is reelected, he can easily just discard Ukraine the way he sloughed off Afghanistan. If the rival, Mr. Trump, is elected, he will not have any strings attached, and he can immediately lower the boom and come to some sort of quid pro quo with Mr. Putin.
What about London?
Polls
there tell us Keir Starmer is the next prime minister. Labour can walk away?
I don't know. I really don't know, because Britain is only relevant as an adjunct to the U.S., as a kind of, as it were, tanto to the Lone Ranger.
Right. It is the strongest member of NATO, however, in supplying aid right now. Germany throws in money, but Britain's been much keener on transferring weapon systems. And cigarettes. The Ukrainian soldiers trained in the U.K. were given free cigarettes under a deal brokered by the Ministry of Defense. The arrangement allowed tobacco donated to the troops to be imported duty-free as part of their rations. A pack of 20 cigarettes in Ukraine cost £1.70 compared with the U.K.'s price of £15.67 since last December. I know you begin to wonder whether this is somebody's sending us up on. But this is the happy Ukrainian said to restore, be good for morale, Michael.
Well, the main thrust now, as it were, is to keep Ukraine going. And the other alternative is a situation where Ukraine collapses before the November election. And that would be an absolute disaster for the administration. And so there's still this bipartisan push, mostly driven by the deep animus held among the American elite toward Russia and this desire to punish Russia. And it's going to continue. I don't see a way out of this, in the sense that Russia is a way for the U.S. elite, and that means establishment Republicans as much as Democrats to maintain their power. And both establishment Republicans and the vast majority of the elite blue types are desperately afraid of a populist surge, and the populism of Trump will not simply be an indication of from whence he draws his support, but also is turning Mr. Trump, I think, into a more activist populist leader. In other words, there are resonances to the kind of extreme anti-elite moves that you would see typically in a revolution that are being stoked, I think, within the imagination of Mr. Trump.
All right, so we have 1 minute here, Germanicus. We're by the Thames. It's a chilly spring afternoon, and we're going to turn to NATO matters. But the question here is, Kremlin sees this. Does the Kremlin wait it out, knowing that after the election, Ukraine will be forgotten?
I think the Russian goal is to end this with as little bloodshed as possible.
They can wait. They can buy as much time as they want. They're building up their defense industry. They don't need to win this spring.
Well, in many ways, they do. Because this would...
After the election, it's a default win in January of 25. Is how I heard you see it.
Yeah, that's right. On the other hand, Russia wants to be in a position where it can dictate the outcome. And it doesn't want to risk some kind of peacemaking that leaves it unfulfilled and that creates...
that Biden and Trump would negotiate hard in January?
No, but they would not negotiate by yielding completely. The only way for Russia to have all of the objectives it wants, basically Novorossiya and a demilitarized non-NATO rump Ukraine, it needs to be able to dictate that.
Well, in other words, it'd be a Kosovo writ large. Who remembers Kosovo? Nobody enforces anything. Serbia is beating it up every day, and you don't hear a word out of the White House. So Ukraine becomes Kosovo?
I think that's a little harsh in the sense that what Russia would like would be a kind of Finlandized rump Ukraine with which Russia had good relations, or at least not as antagonistic as they are under the Ukrainian nationalist leaders now, and to have Novorossiya, and that's a big deal, because most in the West are inclined to allow Russia the land it's already taken or the territory it's already
taken. All right,
taken.
Let's move on to NATO, because NATO will be a player in January of 25, though the White House will not be in the same fashion. Speaking of Germanicus, he is commenting on what we can see in the 21st century. Here in the first century AD, remember, we're very confident in London of the next 100 years. Yeah, 100 years. And we're very confident of the 100 years that just happened, because we're very far away from the Senate. And the Senate is where the trouble is. We'll soon have Nerva for an emperor, and he'll start a good chain of conquests that will carry us through the second century AD for the Roman Empire. But right now we're going to address NATO in the 21st century and dissent. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.